brethren, praise God. I heard someone say that it was a convention that we were coming to. And I knew, according to the way the Spirit has been dealing with me, that it's not a convention. That God has called certain people together to do a special work in us. And this is what we are here for. And I am sure that by the time we are halfway through, everybody will understand what has happened. The Lord has been telling me exactly what to say. And I think I want to just say it exactly as the Lord wants us to say it. We're not ready to go into the message or into the word. I think that this session is just going to be involved with getting ourselves ready. Yeah. First of all, we need a deliverance. Yeah. It's not I'm going to deliver you, or you deliver me. We need a deliverance. We have got to, God is about to take us out of the human realm entirely. I was saved many years ago, and many of you heard my testimony, peace here, peace there. But one of the things that happened to me was that after I met Jesus, I became hungry. I couldn't be satisfied. I had to pray to God to deliver me from judging other men, because I wasn't satisfied with me and I was worse with them. Amen. And it is this greed and this dissatisfaction got so large in me that it consumed me. Night and day, I was seeking, searching for something that was beyond me to reach. And even speaking to Jesus Christ, when I would speak to him, there was that satisfaction in his presence. There was that yearning to be what have what he has was so great upon me that I could not have any kind of rest in saying, well, I've made it. You know, I've seen the dead raised, I've seen mighty miracles done, but every time these miracles occur, I would feel worse, because I knew that I did not have what it took to do those miracles. And there is this yearning and this longing and this crying in my soul. And I would see other men get boastful and, you know, take charge, and I would feel, you know, put down, humbled before God, for I knew what Jesus is, and I knew that I wasn't anywhere near it. And I knew there was nothing that I could do that would bring me near. I would fast and pray many, many days and many nights. And when I fasted, I would get a lift, a boost. But something was there. Glory to God, amen. Amen. You know, I've seen the barrier. There was a barrier there that it became almost useless trying. I don't know if I'm expressing your feelings. It became useless for me to even try to get beyond that barrier. And somehow it seemed that God was holding us down. Isn't that peculiar? It seems that God was holding us down, because the carnal physical needs and the yearnings of the natural man were so much with us, amen, that there you could find that there was no way to get up there. And then like maybe a month ago, just after we came back from Africa, God began to speak a different word. It's no longer we were going to get, the barrier was no longer there. God is saying that there is now a new way opened up, and that we were about ready to go in. God was about ready to put us in to this place. That we were not going to go in there because we were good, because we were nice kids, or anything like that. The things that we valued in the past. You understand? Like fasting and praying and dedication, and then we say we are holy because we did so and so. We said our prayers 3 times and whatever else. All that passed away. And God is saying He is going to take us by the cruff of our necks. And He's going to put us into this place. And it's not because of us, but it's because the time is now. And He's ready. He has already marked the people who He's going to put there. And then I begin to say, but Lord, what can we do? And God wants us right now to begin to look at ourselves. Just go back to the basics. Do you have anything against anybody? Amen. Can you think now? Just think of anybody that you are not free with. That you could not. You if you see the person coming here, you would wish that you could go through the other door. You just don't want to face that person. If you can think of anyone in this world, I'm not talking about Christian, whether Christian or sinner, anyone in this world that you have that kind of feeling towards, then God is saying, before you can hear, amen. Because we're going to, the word is going to be delivered, and some are not going to hear it. Do you understand? Some people have been prevented from coming here, prevented by the enemy, because the devil had the power to stop them. Amen. Yes, some could not come here because they could not hear. If they heard this, they would take it and make something else of it apart. I don't know if you are hearing, if you are understanding what I'm saying. I've seen messages go forth that should have lifted people out of the darkness, and instead of lifting them, it pushed them further down because they took the word a different way. So God is saying, if there's anybody who you can think that you have anything against, that He said, before you bring your gift to the altar, before our ears get cleaned out from the wax that has accumulated, the spiritual ears, God says we are going to have to lay that down before God.
Amen.
And get that clearance and that loosing. Then the next step is, He said to me, if there is anyone who you believe or you doubt that they have something against you. Now listen, now you don't have anything against that person, but you just have a feeling that that person has something against you. Or you have the feeling that it's possible that the person might have something against you. That you have to come before the throne of God, and you have to lay that down before the throne of God. And I tell you why. The reason is that we are at the time when the body of Christ is about to enter in through the veil. Now, all my life, I have had only one desire in God, and that is the time when I will hear the word in my spirit that will loose me from this natural carnal person and put me into that fullness.
Hallelujah.
Now it's crazy for people to be talking about perfection, isn't that so? And to be talking about fullness in such a manner. But this is where we are. This is where the church is. And some people are going to go in who you never thought would make it. And some of the people who we think would make it, they're not going to make it. Amen. Because we are not going to make it because of any of our abilities. But because of our humility before God and our obedience to the word that the Lord God is bringing in our midst. Hallelujah. The negative side of it is that the Bible says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel standing in the holy place, he said, flee. Now remember, all our preaching in the past has been to be preaching to you to get you into the holy place. You remember that? We have been preaching to go into the holy place. We want the gifts. I would love to be a prophet. I would love to be an apostle. I would love to be a shepherd. I would love to be a teacher. And God is telling us now that we must get out of this.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a point of time more than a point of achievement.
Amen.
Ha! It's not that we have achieved anything. Oh, we are like, you know, this is the day.
Yeah.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And, you know, we're thinking that we have come in. We have not come into anything more than what the other Christians have come into. But we have come to the point of time when God must select.
Hallelujah.
And push in.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Glory, praise his holy name.
Amen.
Let me show you something here. Turn to the 1 Corinthians.
Hallelujah.
You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you look at the 8th verse. Agape never faileth. Agape cannot fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. That is, time is going to make all the prophets cancel.
Amen.
Written over the prophets. Cancel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Whether they shall fail, whether there be tongues, speaking in tongues, cancel, they shall fail. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Yes.
The knowledge that we have now will be nothing but foolishness.
Amen.
Amen.
To what God is pointing us to.
Amen.
For we know in part right now, and we prophesy in part. No prophet, no word of knowledge has ever been full or complete. It has always been in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Meaning to say that God is bringing that which is perfect to our people. And that which is perfect will make the people perfect.
Amen.
Take out the word perfect, put complete. That which is complete will make us complete.
Amen.
In other words, we are part people. I never forgot one day I was in the restroom praying, as I generally do when Everybody's gone out of the office at lunchtime. I would take my lunchtime and go into the restroom to pray, knowing that nobody's going to bother me. And God spoke in an audible voice. And he used a phrase like an Englishman. You know, it was. And he said, you know, God has a sort of halfway tree for halfway people. There was a place named Halfway Tree. And at Halfway Tree was the big headquarters of the maybe I shouldn't call any names, right? I'm trying to not to call a name of this evangelical church. That sounds better, eh? And I was saying, oh God, I cannot understand how these people are against me and you are up there blessing them. I felt bad how God was in the congregation blessing them and these people are against me, cursing me. And God said, you know, God has a sort of halfway tree for halfway people. And then I realized that there were some halfway people that God had. And that God loved them. Not loving their halfway wayishness, but loving them because they were his people.
Hallelujah.
Although they were halfway. But he said, when that which is complete is come, then that which is halfway or partway shall be done away.
Amen.
Now the partway prophets that we are, the partway evangelists that we are, the partway shepherds that we are, the partway apostles that we are, the partway teachers that we are, all will be done away with. When the fullness of Christ come in you, we will all be above the apostle, above the prophet. Do you understand?
Yes. Amen.
And you know, the watchmen on the wall, I remember reading something from Branham many years ago, way down in the 50s. And Branham was looking over the heads of everybody. He was a watchman on a wall that was higher than any other wall of anybody else around that area at that time. And he spoke some things that we could not accept. There's no way we could have believed it or accepted it. Because he saw the Antichrist. You hear me? He saw the Antichrist. He saw the prophets to the Antichrist. He saw the beast and he identified them and talked it through his mouth. Hey, you know, you look at a nice brother like this and he says he's an article. What? It was out of order as far as we were concerned. Mm-hmm. But it was way above the heads of everybody else. And today, it is shocking to know who are the people that are siding with Antichrist in our time. The Bible said that at this time, when you shall see this abomination come in to the holy place, it says it's time for you to get out of the holy place.
Amen.
God is taking you out of the holy place. Holy place is prophet, apostle, this, bishop, pastor, all these things. These things some people are now fighting for, you must be looking to get out of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't you understand?
Praise.
Amen. People are organizing churches. And what is my position? What is my calling? What, brother, what is the gift God's giving me?
God's taking away the gifts.
You are up against the golden altar where God's asking you to give up everything, give up your gift.
Right.
We will all be prophets.
Hallelujah.
We're not having any more pastors, any more ministers. As such, the body is coming into ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you understand?
Amen.
Amen. So instead of us looking backwards, let's begin to look forward now.
Amen.
That which is perfect is come. Then that which is in part will be done away.
Amen.
All the divisions that are among us.
Yes.
The divisions of man and woman. The divisions of black and white. The divisions of this and that. All put away. Let us begin to look to a higher thing.
Yes.
And let us repent of ever looking back.
Yes.
To that which is lower. Than that which we should be looking forward to.
Right.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if we can understand. But God said to me, in order to clear our ears for what we're going to hear from God in this conference, we need repentance.
Amen.
In other words, we need, first of all, to take over relationships one with another, you see, because the devil tell us that our brother and sister are our enemies. Did you hear me? If you talk something against me, you are not my enemy, and I know it.
Hallelujah.
I know if the devil gets you to talk the worst thing about me, it doesn't make anything do anything to me. It comes off my back like water off a duck's back, because I know you are not my enemy. I know my enemy! Do you understand?
Yes.
So if I hear that you say anything about me, it doesn't make any difference to me.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I only will pray a little harder for you, for I know that the devil got you. Do you understand? Can you see it like that? If you can see it like that, we want it to be applied in this meeting before we start going to deep words. Because deep words will just fall off you like water from a duck's back. You will not be able to retain what God is about to give to us in this conference. Because God has begun to whisper to me, and I do not know the fullness of it. I do not understand what's going to come out, but I know something is going to happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That a foundation will be laid for us to go right into the holiest of all.
Amen.
And I'm no longer afraid to say it.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you understand?
Amen.
We have heard it.
Amen.
We have heard it many times. But somehow or the other, the way to go in, we had not seen. And the only way you can see the way to go in is if your hearts are pure. Do you hear me? The hearts of the people of God have to be sanctified.
Yeah.
Satan has tied us up by telling us that our brethren are our enemies. This one say that about me. That one say that about me. This one say that I wonder how this one feel about me because he didn't greet me nicely. And whatever, all that is down there.
Amen.
You say, when, listen to this one. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought. My mind functioned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
Do you hear me? God is talking to us now about the putting away and the maturity. And I believe we can be matured in a moment in a
minute.
Yes.
I don't believe years mature us.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. I've seen little children like this little one get up in meeting and confound all the elders. Yes, sir. The Spirit of God moved up on the child and confounded all the elders. So I am not one who believes that to be mature you have to be old. I don't believe that to be mature you have to be 20, 30, 40 years in God. No. God said, a nation shall be born in a day.
Hallelujah.
A nation shall be born in a day. People are going to be shocked by God and remade and recreated, and a new creation man is going to come forth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. You heard that? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you and I could never make it in a thousand years.
Yes, amen.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you are going to believe God, that God is going to anoint these people and this church with power to minister that nobody has ever seen on earth before.
Hallelujah.
You know, I hear many preachers talking about a revival coming. And sometimes when I hear them talking of the revival, I say, poor thing. To me, they're just like little children talking. You know why? They're thinking about the old time revival, where they're going to build churches, and they're going to have thousands of people rushing into the church. Let me tell you, brethren, what I see as a revival is that the church will be the streets and the fields and the farms. Everywhere. The power of God is going to be let loose so that everywhere that men are, they will be calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And salvation will be in Zion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the next verse here said, for now we see through a glass darkly. You know, when a man believes he's seen clear, it's difficult to convince him that he's seen darkly, because he has no idea of what clear seeing is. Amen. You hear me? He doesn't understand what seeing clearly means. So that when you talk about seeing through a glass darkly, it's difficult to convince some people that they're not seeing. But he said, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. I wonder if you understand what it's saying. The Spirit of God looked down on you, and he sees you, and he knows you, and he knows an entirely different person from you know.
Amen. Amen.
You know yourself, and you say, oh, poor me, you know, and you know, so you're timid about certain things, and you don't know you. God knows you. And with the Spirit of God looking at you, he knows you more than you know yourself. And God says, you are going to know you and know your brother as he know you.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Can you understand that?
Amen.
So this is where the church is. And this is what we ought to do. And I cannot break the message to us until we have a time of cleansing and deliverance before God. I have no idea of how we're going to go into that. But maybe somebody here has that move. Maybe the Lord is moving to speak to somebody to lead us into a real soul-searching time. And he told me two things. We should first think of the people who we have something against. And then we think of the people who have something against us. Because I said, before you bring your gift to the altar, go find your brother. Now I want us to find him in the spirit now, whether they be here or not here. Somebody here, you were robbed and hurt by somebody in the world. And you have a tinge in your heart for that person. You could not bring that person to Jesus Christ, because you have to get that, rid of that. No.
Hallelujah.
And all that garbage, you know, I see it as garbage being thrown into a garbage bin.
Amen.
And we want all that garbage to be put down before Jesus Christ. And for you to give up.
Hallelujah.
Somebody owe you money and the person doesn't pay you. I want you to give it up right now before God.
Hallelujah.
I sit down.
Praise God. Because the Lord has already said, I feel that I should share what the Lord, an experience I had with the Lord yesterday or the day before. I don't know, my days get mixed up. But it is either yesterday or the day before. The Lord spoke to me and said, it is the last time.
Yes.
It is the last time. And in my spirit, he made it clear to me that it is not the scripture that says it's the last days, but it's the last time. So I took my Bible and decided to look this up to see what the difference was in the last days or the last time. And then I discovered that the last days could refer, would be the period of time from Jesus came
to
the end of time. There is a span of time, like the last 2,000 years could be referred to the last days. See, because it's days, it says. But he said it is the last time. And so I looked for scripture and found the reference in First John or Second John, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Where it says, my little children,
it's the last time.
It's the last time. And then what came strongly to my spirit is, it is First John chapter 2 and verse, I started reading from verse 15, love not the world, and so on. And it, in verse 16, it tells about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then I remembered that that is what affected Eve. And the authority and dominion was lost. So if we want authority and dominion, if we to be restored, we have to get rid of those things that affected Eve in the garden, that caused her to disobey and to the loss of the dominion and authority. And that's what the Lord wants to restore to us. Yeah. And then it tells of the world and the love of the world and the and everything, and all of that will pass away, and it's only one thing that abides, and is what is in God, if we do the will of God. Then it comes down to verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist should come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby ye know that it is the last time. And if that was, I think this was more prophetic, but it was manifested at that time in to a lesser degree than it is at this time. And what the Spirit brought very strongly to me as I read it is the Antichrist.
Yes.
And it is the spirit of the Antichrist that is manifested, was manifested, is manifested, and shall be manifested. It was among the 12.
Yes.
It worked in the 12 and caused Judas to do the wrong thing. Though he was among the 12, because he had not gotten rid of the spirit of the world, the things of the world. As here, the flesh, the lust of the eye, and so on. Because if we know the history of all of that, we see how he was always going after the money, and he was saying things that was contrary to the spirit of holiness, the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of God. And so we find the spirit of the Antichrist will always be present among God's people. And we are to reject it, fight against it, because it causes separation, division, lust, and things that are of the world.
Amen.
And it will profit, it will cause us to lose out with God. And not find our place in what God is doing in this hour. So it is the last time. It is like our parents would call to us and said, now, it's the last time that I'm going to tell you this.
Yes.
Or warn you in this direction. Then you'll have to face the consequences after this. It is the last time. And God is warning us about that spirit of Antichrist that we are to reject. Look out for reject from our own beings and from us in general, the body of Christ. Have no part with it because it is the last time and it will lead us away from that which God has ordained for us and put us in that place where we lose out with God.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Towards our brethren. I think it's a time for God to do anything for us that we ask Him. You see, the day of the big evangelist, power man of God, and faith and power is over. God is not going to be allowing any more one man to have all the glory and everybody, all those who want to be healed, just come to this man.
Amen.
That kind of a thing is God is getting it out of the church and out of our system. Healing and things must come from the body of Christ because this is what God is building now. God is building a body. Amen. And outside of this body, God does not want to have any other function. And so He's phasing it up. I don't know if you notice what's really happening to the men who have that mighty power and used to work in that power. That it actually is fading away and some of them are crying, oh Lord, give it back to me. I don't know how many of you saw Oral Roberts 3 days ago, about 3 days ago. He had a new revelation. And you know, I was sitting on the edge of my seat, really, listening to the revelation that he had. And it was all good, but his interpretation of it was entirely off what God is saying to the church now. He says, thank God, fire will be coming out of my hands from now. I will be I. And then, peculiar thing happened. Sister Roberts got up, he asked her to give her impression. And she corrected him, but just, it was so gentle that you wouldn't have noticed it. You know what she said? She said, I want to add a little to it. I want to say that there is a body out there that God is calling to be like over. You know, in other words, the body is going to have the fire coming out of their hand. Not a one man. We have no hope if we believe in the one man thing. Listen, brethren, let me tell you what I see. The ministry is fading away. Mighty men of one man prophet is fading away. The one man miracle worker is fading away. God couldn't be phasing this thing out for nothing. He's phasing it out because He said the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher must minister to the body till the body minister. So the real minister is the body. In other words, God wants the power to come out through the body. Otherwise, my preaching is in vain. I've wasted my 40 years. If I don't see the power and the glory of God coming forth in a people, if I don't see forgiveness, which love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, coming forth in a people, we don't have any hope. I mean, we have wasted our lives. It's a whole life wasted. The love of God must begin to come forth in a people. And I don't decry the troubles that we are having. I feel that they are a welcome help.
Yes.
Because if these things don't come, you will not find out that you didn't love your brother. And when you find out that you didn't love your brother, you must repent.
Amen.
You wouldn't find out that it wasn't the voice of God that was speaking to you.
Hallelujah.
When you find out
Hallelujah.
That it wasn't God, because if God says this chair is going to move tomorrow to that position and it doesn't move, you might as well repent. That's a blessing. You see what I mean? If you heard that, because if God said so, it's going to move regardless of us.
Hallelujah.
So we need to have a repentant heart, to be looking around for something to repent for. You hear me? Amen. Praise be to God.